Good morning and welcome to Symphony's 10 a.m. service. In case you don't know me, I'm Pastor Sean, one of the pastors here at Symphony. We just want to thank you for joining us for worship today. At this time, let's take a minute to greet those that we're worshiping with. We're scattered all around the Boston area, all around the country, all around the world. And so let's just acknowledge that we're worshiping together at this time and bless one another by greeting one another. You can do that in the live stream chat, in our Zoom room, or just maybe send someone a text right now. Let's take a minute to bless one another. So last week, we started a new sermon series called Everyday Christian People. Now, the main idea of this series is that being followers of Jesus isn't just about like a few hours on Sunday, but it's about being a disciple of Jesus every day, Sunday through Saturday. Every day is an opportunity for us to follow Jesus, and every sphere of our lives, not just our personal time with the Lord, every area is an area where God's will can be done. And so what we want to do in this series is talk about how we can live out our faith every day. Now, one of the important points that Pastor Barry made last week was that what the world needs to see today is the church living differently. Now, especially in the face of a global pandemic, the fight for justice in our nation, all of the issues we're seeing today, what the world needs more than like a medical breakthrough or political action even, is Jesus. And the primary way the world will see Jesus is through us, through the body of Christ. Now, more than ever, it's time for us as a church, as children of God, to be serious about following Jesus every day. Because as we recognize how we're made in the image of God, like we talked about last week, that empowers us to see the image of God in our neighbors. And so how do we do that? How do we put this into action? How do we become agents of change, ambassadors of Christ to a broken world? One of the biggest steps we have to take is to do nothing. If we want to see transformation and change in the world, we have to do nothing. Now, that doesn't sound right, does it? What we learn in the scriptures, as we understand the gospel, one of the most important things we need to do as we're following Jesus to change the world is we need to do nothing. And by that, I mean rest. It may seem counterintuitive, but rest is one of the most important things that we need as followers of Jesus. And so last week, we read from Genesis 1 as Pastor Barry shared about how all people bear the image of God. So as we talk about rest today, I thought it would be appropriate that we continue in Genesis. So we'll start from the last verse in Genesis 1, and then we'll read Genesis 2 from verses 1 to 3 after that. Let me read that for us. And God saw everything he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God finished his work that he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work that he had done. So God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it God rested from all his work that he had done in creation. This is the word of God. Let me pray for us. Jesus, we thank you for this Lord's Day. We thank you for this day of rest that we can have. And as we go into your word, Lord, as we talk about rest, may you bring that rest to our souls. As we draw near to you, God, won't you speak through your word, speak to our hearts, Lord. We love you, Lord. Bless us here. In your name we pray. Amen. So for most of us, when we think about Sabbath rest, we think about Sundays. Or more specifically, like an hour and a half or 2-hour block dedicated to worshiping God on Sundays. Now, keeping the Sabbath is first commanded in the Ten Commandments, as we see in Exodus 20. So God commanded the Israelites to work 6 days, but on the seventh day, they were to Sabbath, meaning they were to do nothing. He commands them to take one whole day and make it holy to God, dedicate it to the Lord by not working. So the Jewish people, they practiced the Sabbath on Saturdays, and then Christians in the early church, they switched that to Sundays in remembrance of Jesus' resurrection on Easter Sunday. But regardless, the idea that many people have about the Sabbath is that it's once a week. Take one day of the week, Sunday, Saturday, whatever, and dedicate it to the Lord and rest on that day. Now today, many Christians consider going to church on a Sunday to be their Sabbath rest. But the idea of Sabbath is meant to have so much more meaning and purpose for us than just taking one day off a week. And it definitely means a lot more than worshiping God for a few hours on Sunday. Sabbath rest points to something much deeper than going to church or getting a good night's sleep. Sabbath rest directs us to the gospel itself. Let's look at our passage from Genesis to understand a little more. So in Genesis 1 and 2, we have this account of creation. And in Genesis 1, on the first day, God creates light and darkness. The second day, the heavens and the earth and the seas, and so on and so on, till the sixth day, where he creates mankind, Adam and Eve. When we get to the beginning of Genesis 2, then, we discover that God, on the seventh day, he decides to rest because he was just so tired from all that creating. No, actually, that's not what it says. It says God finished his work and he rested. He wasn't tired, he wasn't exhausted, he didn't run out of ideas of things to create. God rested because of what we see in Genesis 1:31, where God saw everything he had made, and behold, it was very good. Now to go back, in Genesis 1, there's this pattern that I'm sure a lot of us are familiar with. After each day of creation, it says that God saw that it was good. But at the end, after the sixth day, God creates mankind. After God is finished, he looked at his creation. He said, very good. Another way we can think about this is like this. God looked at all he created, and he said, it is very good. Or in other words, it is good enough. Now, when I say good enough, it's not like when I'm cleaning my house, right? So when I clean my house, I'll put some stuff away, stuff some things in a closet or drawers. I'll scrunch up all the clothes that I have on the floor and stuff them into my dresser. And I'll say, good enough. Amazingly, my wife disagrees. But anyways, after God created light and dark, heavens, earth, seas, plants, mankind, in 6 days, God says it's very good. It's good enough. It's as if God, after he finished creation, he stepped back and was like, man, I'm good. God looked at his creation. He said, very good, because everything was as he intended it to be. And so God rested because it was good enough. So when God instructed the Israelites to keep the Sabbath, part of it, I'm sure, was that he wanted them to rest and to recuperate their strength physically. But on a much deeper spiritual level, he wanted them to stop working, stop everything, sit down, and trust that things were good, very good, or good enough. He wanted them to recognize that their lives as they were, with God as their Lord, their lives were good enough. So you see, this idea of Sabbath rest isn't just about one day a week. It's not just about when we take time off. At the heart of Sabbath rest is trust. Trusting God with your whole heart and your whole life. Now, I think it's hard for us where we are with the privilege and wealth and technology, especially, that we have to fully grasp this. But let's think about this in the time and the technology of the ancient Near East. At that time, there's no refrigerators to store your food, no banks to keep your money safe, no retirement plans, no 401k. People did not work to find meaning and purpose in their lives. Their work was their survival. So about a month ago, we started a garden at my house for the first time because we're in a pandemic. And so my son Tyler and I, we together, we planted carrot seeds and broccoli seeds. And so this is our little hobby together that we do every day. And so every day we go outside, we check on our little precious carrot and broccoli sprouts right now. We water them, we prayed for them. We actually did pray for them. And if we get a lot of carrots and broccoli, we'll share some with you if you pray for them. But anyways, for us, nothing hinges on our ability to grow these vegetables, right? Nothing hinges on that. If nothing comes out of this, oh well, it's just a hobby. But for people in those ancient times, this was not a hobby. Their harvest was their livelihood. No crops, no harvest would mean financial ruin, poverty, starvation for your family. With that in mind, consider this. Consider God's command to Sabbath then. He says, take one day off every 7 days. In our minds now, we think, taking a day off, ooh, vacation. But in their minds, they're not thinking vacation. I would think some of them, when they first would hear this, they would think they're losing 14.3% of their productivity. That's 1 divided by 7. For them to take Sabbath rest, it meant trusting in God. Keeping the Sabbath meant trusting that their work to provide for their families on those other 6 days was sufficient. Taking a Sabbath meant trusting that God was good. And more importantly, that God and his provision, his presence, and his love for them as image bearers of God, they had to trust that. They had to trust that God was good enough for them. So you see, Sabbath rest is like much more than just taking some time off. Sabbath rest points to trusting God with our whole lives, trusting that God is good and he is good enough. When we pause and we look at the world around us today, especially in relation to work, I think it's pretty clear that nothing is really good or good enough. In this country especially, we are increasingly becoming overworked. I have a lot of statistics to show you today. Statistics show that the average productivity of the American worker has gone up 400% since 1950. This means Americans are doing 4 times as much at their jobs than they did 70 years ago. There was a poll in 2018 that reported that 23% of full-time employees often or always feel burned out at work, while an additional 44% of employees feel burnout at least sometimes. That's 67% of workers who feel some sort of burnout from their work. And to top it all off, 8 out of 10 people have cried at work in this country. People in our country are exhausted, tired, and burnt out. And there's so many studies about how this is hurting us emotionally and physically even. Burnout workers, by the way, are 23% more likely to visit the emergency room. Now, about 3 months ago, something pretty dramatic happened. The COVID-19 pandemic hit, and so much of our lives have been disrupted. And something interesting happened. For the first time in decades, if not like centuries, suddenly people had a lot more time on their hands. Not everyone, but a lot more people had a lot more free time. And at least for those who have jobs now, like working from home, their commuting time has gone from whatever it was before to the distance between their hands and their laptops, right? Like we've had this extra time now. And so for the most part, a lot of us, my guess is most of us here, we have a lot more time on our hands. But the question is, do we feel rested now? There's one study that showed that U.S. employees working from home are working 3 hours more per day than they did before the lockdown. People are logging into their computers later into the night than they did before the pandemic, and there's actually large spikes of work happening between midnight and 3 a.m. Another study showed that 25% of U.S. employees already feel burnout in the midst of working in this pandemic. People are not getting more rest. Now, some of you might hear these statistics and think, I'm a student, or honestly, I don't really do much of anything. I don't feel exhausted. I don't feel tired. I'm not studying. I'm not working. I'm just not really doing much of anything. But just think about what our culture's like. Especially pre-pandemic. So much of our lives in this country is about maximizing every single moment of every single day. And so even if we're not working like 100 hours a week, beyond work, so much of our lives are about filling our schedules, our calendars with events and clubs and trips, meetups, relationships, and beyond that, more media, Netflix, and social media. Many of us have been given all this extra time and we still don't rest. And instead, we're just filling ourselves more and more with either work or more screen time. Our lives are filled and stretched, and typically we're the ones doing it to ourselves. What we need is rest. We desperately need Sabbath rest. What we need to do is to just stop working, stop filling, stop trying to achieve, stop consuming. We need to stop and we need to rest and we need to trust that God is good enough. There's a problem though. Even with this offer of rest that we have from God, it's hard to accept it. It's hard to actually find the kind of rest that we really need. Some more very telling statistics. 55% of workers do not max out their vacation days. 28% of vacation days, this is paid time off. 28% of vacation days do not get used by American workers. In 2018, it said that 768 million vacation days went unused. Even when our employers offer us rest, we don't take it. And like I said before, since the lockdown started, many people have a lot more free time on their hands. But going along with that, there's a lot of statistics that show that social media use, Netflix use has skyrocketed. People have replaced productivity with media and social media use. And hopefully it's not a surprise to us, but watching more Netflix doesn't make us feel more rested. Like Instagram isn't exactly bringing peace to our souls. These things don't help us feel like life is good enough. So why? Why do we so often go in the opposite direction of rest? Why are we just like we're offered this rest and yet we don't take it? I think it goes back to that same word I said before. Trust. For someone to take time off from work, it requires trusting that their employers or their coworkers won't think less of them. It requires trusting that they'll still have a job after that time off. For us to find rest daily from our work, it means we have to trust that what we have done or are able to do, and maybe also what we're unable to do, we have to trust that all of that is good enough. All of our accomplishment or unaccomplishments are good enough. And if we don't have confidence that what we are able to do is good enough, what do? We work harder. Meanwhile, for those who have more free time, it's hard to not just keep filling up our minds and our hearts with media. In our day, quiet is actually a very scary proposition for many people. If we turn off our phones and our laptops, we give up our screens, we take out the AirPods, what are we left with? We're left to ourselves. When we take away the companions, if you will, of media, social media, texting, whatever, it leaves us alone to our thoughts. Our fears maybe, insecurities, doubts even. I dare you to try this sometime. Maybe try this week when you're alone. Take your phone, keep the notifications on, put it down, and walk away to a different room. And go to that other room and just sit down and do nothing. As you sit down, you're gonna start to feel something. You might hear that ding, you might hear that buzz, or you might hear nothing at all, but you're gonna feel after a minute maybe this tug on your mind, on your heart, just wondering, I wonder what's new on my phone. This FOMO creeps in after just a few minutes, maybe less than a minute for some of us. Anxiety about missing an email or a text or a social media post. You see, for us, when there's no activity, there's no noise or work, we might feel alone. We might feel that little twinge of sadness that we haven't allowed to come up. Might feel a little lost or confused. If you stop working, you stop consuming media, you stop listening to podcasts, you stop doing, you stop filling yourself with something, what so many of us are left with are feelings of emptiness. And so to avoid that, what do? We keep going, we keep doing, we keep working, keep consuming, keep filling ourselves with more and more and more. And where does that lead us? It leaves us overworked, burnt out, exhausted, or addicted to our screens. And more importantly, on a deep soul and spiritual level, it leads us away from trusting in God, trusting that we're loved by God. If we're not resting, we're not trusting that God is in control and that he is good. We're not believing that we're made in his image and that we're loved by him. And when we're not trusting him, what are we trusting in? What are we believing in if we don't rest? We're believing that we are defined by what we do. When we're not resting, we're trusting that what we can accomplish is who we are. When we're not trusting God, we're putting the weight, the burden, the onus of achievement, status, power, survival, everything in all of life, it's on us. And when we do that, we can't stop, we won't stop, because if we stop, we fall behind. We feel like if we're not moving forward, we're falling behind. When we do all this, we're believing all the voices, all the thoughts, and really the lies of the world that tell us that we're not good enough, we're not enough, you're not pretty enough, fit enough, accomplished enough, not doing enough. If we can't stop, if we cannot rest, then we're not trusting the goodness of God. There's, of course, good news, though. The good news for us is that Jesus offers us a much, much better way. Listen to what Jesus says in Matthew 11. He says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Jesus says he wants to offer us rest. He invites us to surrender our burdens, our work, all the ways we fill ourselves, all the ways that we are told about who we are. And he says, "Lay them down before me and I will give you rest." It's not about laboring or working to support yourself or to prove yourself. Those things are just a burden. They're heavy upon us. Jesus is saying, "Trust me and learn from me. Stop defining yourself by what you do. Don't let the world tell you who you are." Jesus says that, like, there is a yoke, there's this burden from him, but to us that just means we're like tied to him, we're committed to him, we're trusting in him. And he's saying, "Don't worry, my burden is light. I'm gentle. You will find rest for your souls." What Jesus wants to do in us is he wants to restore this image of God within us. He wants to tell us, "Hey, you're good. You're very good. Your life is in my hands. It's good enough. Trust me. Trust in me." If we trust in him, if we trust in Jesus, we're trusting that he has taken all of our burdens, all of our existential needs and to like work, to prove ourselves. He took all of them, all of that. He took all of our sin. He took it all and died for it on the cross. And he died so those things would no longer have a hold on us anymore. And when he conquered death, when he conquered sin and rose from the dead, the life he offers us now is eternal life. Another word for that would be Sabbath rest. An eternal Sabbath rest for our souls. If we trust in Jesus, it means that we are very good, good enough eternally. There's nothing more to do, nothing more to prove. We are good enough because he is so good to us. Now this, of course, this doesn't mean that we like quit our jobs or quit school and sit around and do nothing, right? And it doesn't mean that we don't work still to bless one another, to build up one another. And it doesn't mean that we don't fight for justice in this world. We're called to keep on working, keep on fighting for justice, keep on investing into the kingdom and blessing others. But it's different because those things do not define us. We are not children of God, or we're not made in the image of God because we work for justice or because we strive to serve and to bless others. We work for justice and we strive to love and bless others because we're children of God. We do those things, but they don't define us. And when we do those things, when we work, we can do it with a different and a new spirit now. We can do it with joy and freedom. We don't do the work that's assigned to us like begrudgingly now. We recognize God's calling and purpose and love in that work. And in the fight for justice in this world, as we strive to be ambassadors of Christ, we don't do it with any sense of hopelessness, nor do we do this work as if it depends on us. Rather, we fight and we strive, knowing and trusting that God is working already on our behalf. We're trusting that Jesus is good enough. And so hopefully we all see this. Sabbath is not just a once a week thing. It's about putting our whole lives, every part of our life, into the hands of Jesus and allowing him to say, good enough. Now, how do we do this? How do we practice and live out Sabbath rest then? We all need to set aside time intentionally and consciously to do nothing useful. Set aside time to do like nothing useful, intentionally and consciously. We should all set aside time where we don't do our work, don't do schoolwork, turn off our phones, turn off our laptops, take out the AirPods, and just do nothing useful. Don't even clean your house. Don't like clean your apartment. Don't do chores. Don't do errands. Fight the urge and the need to be productive, to be moving forward, to doing more, gaining more, achieving more, and even learning more. Just set aside time to do nothing. Now, this, of course, doesn't mean we're just sitting and like staring at a wall, right? It's striving to spend time with Jesus and letting him be enough for us. It's finding the joy and the peace of being with him. And so you don't have to do this alone. You know, if you live with family or you have roommates, you can strive to spend just quality time with them, right? Have deep and meaningful conversations. Have completely ridiculous and silly conversations. Read the Bible together. Play board games together, but it doesn't really matter. But whatever you do, take time to be worshipfully useless, joyfully doing nothing, but letting our bodies and souls just find renewal and refreshing and be filled not by like work or entertainment, but just the fellowship of being with Jesus. You can even take a nap, just nap with the love of Jesus in your heart. Now, we should, of course, strive to take Sabbath once a week. It doesn't have to be on Sunday. Any day is fine. But as this series we're in is called Everyday Christian People, I want to encourage us to find time to rest every day. So how can we do this? A couple things I want to suggest to you. First, and actually maybe most importantly, get good sleep. One of the most important and spiritual things that you can do is to get a good night of sleep every night. Right? 7 or 8 hours of good sleep with good REM cycles, right? Now, this may be like more of an issue or less of an issue in self-isolation now, but whatever it is, regardless, fight to get a good amount of sleep. Set a bedtime, fight to keep it. Some people suggest like setting an alarm for when you should go to bed. We need to set boundaries in our lives, like from our work. Don't take your work to bed as best as you can. And don't worry, right? Don't worry, those texts will still be there in the morning. The social media posts will be there too. And if not, oh well, they're not as meaningful as you think, even if they're pictures of my kids, right? And don't worry, like Netflix will probably be there in the morning when you wake up. And if not, maybe that's for the better. One more note on this though. Note, just because you sleep 8 hours, it doesn't mean that it's a good 8 hours of sleep. You can do some research on this. Just Google some articles and studies on this. Look for studies about good sleep habits. But just one small tip, try to avoid caffeine for at least like 3 or 4 hours before your sleep time. Though I think 8 to 9 hours before is even better. And for those of you who drink like 3, 4, 5 cups of coffee a day, learn to trust God with your work and alertness and try to quit. Get better sleep. In the long run, you'll actually be more productive. But anyways, again, fight to get good sleep every day. That's an act of faith that we can take every day. Secondly, application for all of us is practice the discipline of solitude daily. Solitude and rest, they kind of go hand in hand as disciplines, but just want to suggest to us that every day, set aside some time to just be still and silent and alone with God. If you're just starting out, maybe just take like 10 or 15 minutes. Turn off your phone, turn off your laptop, turn off the music. Just be alone with God. You can do this at home. Maybe you can go for a walk if that helps you. Have your Bible next to you to read if that helps you. Have a journal handy, maybe to jot down some thoughts to help you focus. But as you do this, right, It's so good for your soul, but I recognize as you do this, all of the distractions of your heart and your mind and your soul will come. And fight the temptation to check Instagram and check your email, vacuum the floor even. That's a random temptation that happens when I try to do solitude, is that I start looking around and thinking, oh, what, I should clean these things. Fight those temptations. Focus on the rest and the peace that God desires for you. As you do this, you'll notice something. You'll notice these thoughts and struggles and feelings, maybe even emotions will start to come out. Right? There's things maybe that we've been pushing deeper and deeper into the recesses of our hearts and minds. Maybe you'll hear some of those voices telling you that you're not doing enough or that you're not good enough. Maybe there's fear that you didn't even know was there will start to bubble up. Like fear of the unknown, fear of not being in control. Allow yourself to think through those things, to feel those things, but bring them before Jesus. Breathe and ask Jesus to bring rest and peace to your heart. Remember, Jesus says, learn from me. I'm gentle and lowly in heart. You will find rest for your souls. Reflect upon that as you're in that time. And if you do this daily, you'll find this daily refreshing every day as you just connect with Jesus more and more, as you hear from him. Solitude really is just spending time with Jesus, focused time, allowing him to minister to our souls. I just want to encourage us. Let's take time every day to do that. You know, we live in one of the most tumultuous and confusing times in recent human history. There's a lot of uncertainty and a lot of fear about what's to come. And in all of our individual lives, we're all feeling different kind of pressures and worries. And every fiber of our being might be telling us to take control, right? To work harder, try to keep moving forward. But I want to encourage all of us, let's listen to Jesus today and every day. Let us rest. Let us set aside time to joyfully and worshipfully just do nothing. And as we do that, let's remember how Jesus is good and how he's good enough for us. Let's pray.